We're going to just read one verse, please, from the book of the Hebrews, a well-known verse, no doubt, to the folks here, but we're going to consider it again tonight. Hebrews and chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, and we'll read verse number 3. So actually, let's read from the beginning of the chapter. It's verse 3 that we're going to consider. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? It's really this question in verse number 3 that I want to consider with you tonight. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So great salvation. Very simply, tonight I want to consider these words with you. And very simply, I want to think about it in this way. I just want to bring the little phrase down into three little sections. How shall we escape? And I want to think about the danger that we are all in. The danger that we are all in. And then the writer goes on to say, if we neglect. And I want to think about the deceptions that we must all ignore. The deceptions we must all ignore. And then finally, we'll consider the last phrase, so great salvation. What a wonderful salvation our God has planned. What a wonderful salvation he's brought right down into our hearts and into our lives and into our hearing this very night. And we want to think tonight about the deliverance that we can all have. This great salvation is for men and women and boys and girls in 2018. They can come to know their sins forgiven. They can know with assurance tonight, this very night, you can have the assurance that one day heaven is going to be your home, and that you're going to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus and with his Father and with every other believer that trusts him, and to enjoy all the wonderful things that he's got laid up for them that love him. What a wonderful salvation, and we're going to think about that tonight. But we're going to come to the beginning of our verse. We need to take it in order. And as the Hebrew writer is writing here, he's reminding them that this message that came to their hearing, and we remind everyone in the gospel meeting tonight, although you've got a preacher this week and next week from Whitburn, the message isn't from Whitburn. The message is from the heart of God himself, from heaven above. And he has brought this message personally himself. You see, in verse number 2, it tells us it didn't come by an angel. It wasn't brought to us by Michael or Gabriel or anybody like that. This verse that we're thinking about tonight, and that's why it's such a serious verse, and that's why it's so important that you and I listen to what is being said in the gospel, because it first began to be spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. And he came from the heart of his Father in heaven. And he brought this message of good news from heaven. And he came right down onto our planet. And he walked on our earth here beside us. And the words that he brought were straight from his Father's heart. And he brought the good news from heaven. And tonight it's come all the way to your little street and to this little hall. And I have the privilege to tell you tonight That God in heaven is interested in you, and he's interested so much that he sent his only son, not only to bring the message, but he indeed is the message. That's what chapter 1 is all about in this book. It's telling us that God has spoken, yes, he's spoken the old days through the prophets. But this day, and this night in 2018, he's speaking to you and I in the person of his son. Not only did he bring the message, but he was the message. Why? Because he was willing to come to our earth and to move through right to the place called Calvary. And although he lived perfectly, and although he lived sinlessly, he allowed men to take him and to nail him to that center tree and to die in the place of sinners like you and I. And he was willing to take your place, and he was willing to take my place. He was the only one that ever had the right to live. And yet graciously and mercifully and submissively, he died on that center tree that we might have the privilege tonight to preach the good news of God from heaven. That we might be able to tell you tonight you can have your sins forgiven. You can know tonight with assurance that you're on your way to heaven. And know the joy and the peace that comes from having Christ in your heart and God in your life. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to know the wonders of this great salvation that we're going to think about tonight. And you can have it. Can I ask everyone in the meeting tonight? I don't know everybody that's here. Praise God, the Lord Jesus does. The God of heaven, he knows you're here, dear friend. And he knows exactly where your heart is. And he knows what you think about him. And he knows what you think about your son, his son, the Lord Jesus. And he knows tonight whether you've heard it many times before or not. And maybe up until this point in time, you've maybe listened to it. And you've maybe never thought just how important it is, and how important it is that you do something about it, and that you do something about it tonight. And that's the burden of my heart tonight as we think of this message. Because some people, I don't think they realize just the danger that they are in. You see this little expression, how shall we escape? To escape from what you say. You see, the writer knows, and the Lord himself knew, that's why he brought the message. You see, every single one of us, we are guilty before a holy God. And the danger that we're all in, the cause of that danger is this. Paul tells us in Romans, doesn't he? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us in the room tonight, no matter how well to do we look, or no matter how rich we are, or no matter how many good works we've done, God looks at us all exactly the same. We're all sinners in his sight. And every single one of us, we deserve nothing but his wrath and his judgment. But praise God tonight, his heart, he loves you. You see, dear friend, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And yet tonight I want you to understand the cause of your danger, the cause of an eternity without Christ and without hope, is because of your sin. I trust this evening that you understand how serious the problem of sin is, and how important it is that you're concerned about it, and that you're concerned enough to do something about it. And tonight, dear friend, we want to warn you of this danger. The cause of it is our sin. But I want to thank God in heaven tonight that he's given us a caution about this danger, hasn't he? He's warned us about the wrath to come. He's told us about the great eternity that's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he told us about heaven, but he told us about hell. And the Lord Jesus knows that there is a blackness and a darkness that will last for all eternity in the loneliness away from God and away from His things. But He knows tonight that there is danger coming. And God Himself says, dear friend, not just the folks that are here as preachers and as the folks that organise these meetings, it's God Himself who's saying, and Paul reminded the folks that night when he was speaking on Mars Hill, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Dear friend, God has cautioned you about your sin. We've reminded you that all have sinned. But the Lord is telling us, every single one of us, now this isn't an optional extra. God isn't asking you to make a choice. God is commanding you, dear friend, tonight to do something about your sin. To turn from your sin. To flee from it. You see, because God is holy, He cannot have sin in His presence. And if you and I ever hope to be in His presence, ever hope to be in heaven, ever hope to be in that place where there's fullness of joy, then we must listen to His warning. We must listen to His call. Because He knows it's absolutely certain, this danger. You see, dear friend, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, there is the judgment. You see, one day, dear friend, every single one of us, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. For some of us, it'll be a day of joy when we stand in His presence. And although we'll maybe think in our hearts that we've not really done enough for Him, for when we see Him in all His glory, I'm sure our hearts will wish we had given Him more. But what a day it's going to be in His presence, and to look on His face, and to hear His words, and to see all that He's got laid up for those that love Him. But dear friend, there is a day for those that don't love Him. There is a day for those that have neglected Him. There is a day for those that have rejected Him, where surely and certainly they will stand before Him, and they won't be able to do anything about it, and they won't be able to flee from His presence, and they will stand before Him, and they will see the prints of the nails on His hands, and they will see the face that loved them and gave Himself on a cross to die for them. And yet those that are standing there are those that didn't think their sin was serious enough to do something about. Oh dear friend, this danger is certain. But I want you to understand tonight, this danger that you and I are in our sin, it's a ceaseless danger. It's an eternal judgment. Jude calls it the blackness of darkness forever, forever. Never to end. Oh dear friend, this is how serious this matter is. It truly is a danger. And it is something that you and I need to escape from. It's something you and I need to flee from. It's something you and I need to turn from. And I praise God for the night when He opened my eyes to see just how guilty I was and just how wonderful His Saviour was, my Saviour, the Lord Jesus, when I trusted Him and I put my all on Him. And tonight I can tell you, there is no more danger for me. There is no more blackness. There is no more hell in the lake of fire for me. Because I've trusted Him. I've listened to His word. I've obeyed His command. And I've trusted Him for myself. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, do you have that assurance in your heart? Do you have that joy in your soul that one day you're going to be with the One who created our world? The One who has made a heaven that is so great our minds just now can't comprehend it. But He is there, and all the things that He has are there. But I wonder, dear friend, tonight, if you have still in your own heart, yes, you know about the Bible, Yes, you've heard about the Lord Jesus many times. And maybe, dear friend, tonight you know that he died on that centre tree for sinners like you and me. But maybe, dear friend, you're still neglecting him. You see, that word neglect, dear friend, when you pass into eternity, it becomes the word reject. You see, if you neglect him now, and you don't think he's important enough for you to do something about tonight, you can neglect him for many reasons. There are three reasons I want to think about tonight why people don't treat this seriously and think that they can play with their sin, and they think that they can leave God for another day, and they think they can maybe wait until just before they die before they trust him. You see, dear friend, the first thing I thought about was this. We're not neglecting the words of men or of angels, but we're rejecting the Son of God if we don't listen to him. And the three reasons I think are simply this. First of all, I don't think everybody really appreciates or fully comprehends the consequences of their sins. Do you really understand what God is going to do with the sinner who loves his sin and wants his sin? Dear friend, be not deceived. God is not mocked. That which soever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Dear friend, if you want your sin, and you want to be entertained by your sin, and you think it's something that is like a sweet morsel to roll under your tongue, dear friend, understand this, it has a bitter end. You see, dear friend, sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Praise God tonight, dear friend, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, dear friend, you might be thinking, surely God isn't going to punish me for the little sins that I have done. Surely my life, the balance of my life is greater than my sins. The proverb, the wise man, he reminds us twice over, doesn't he? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Dear friend, let me reassure you tonight. There is no other way to get to God's fair heaven. There is no other way to deal with your sin. There is no other way to obtain God's forgiveness. You must stand before him all on your own and confess to him, yes, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Oh, dear friend, tonight, understand the reality of the consequences of your sin. Understand it's a real thing. It's something that is certain. But please, tonight, be concerned about it. Concerned enough to do something about it tonight. The other thing that I think that people deceive themselves with, not only do they not think that there will be consequences for their sin, but somehow they delude themselves about the brevity of time. The brevity of time. You and I don't really know just how short our time is. James reminds us, doesn't he? What is our life? It's just like that vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away, and it's gone, and gone forever. And just like that weaver's shuttle, swift and almost unwatchable, and it flies by and it's gone. And we're just like grass. One day it blossoms, and the next day it's cut down. Dear friend, that's your life. It's so fragile. It's so brief. It's just like a tale that is told. It starts. It has a middle. But it has an end. Oh, dear friend, tonight, understand this. We don't have forever. We can't boast about tomorrow. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. I wonder, dear friend, have you come to Him? Have you come to the Saviour, concerned about the consequences of your sin, and being urgent about it? Come fleeing to Him. Come quickly to Him. And He will receive you with arms open wide. And He will take you tonight, dear friend. Don't be deceived about the brevity of time. You know, the last thing I thought about, men don't always think about the consequences of their sin. And they're sometimes deceived about the brevity of time. But I think men all delude themselves about the finality of death. The finality of death. You see, dear friend, it is appointed unto men once to die. Once. This life is our first and our last opportunity to do something about our sin. Job reminds us, doesn't he? When a few years are come, then shall I go the way that I shall not return. Yes, dear friend, we're going to go out into eternity. And these bodies of ours will be laid in a grave. Or whatever you've asked to be done, it won't stop the day when it will be raised again. And when it will be reunited with your soul. And you'll stand before Him. But death, dear friend, it's final. It's our last opportunity while we breathe. While on earth, God has the power on earth to forgive sins. And while we are here, we must do something about it now. For we're just like that water that's spilled upon the ground. It cannot be gathered up again. Oh, dear friend, don't deceive yourself. Ignore what men say about their sin. Ignore what men say about time. Ignore what men think about what they're going to do after death. Dear friend, tonight, be serious about your sin. For how shall we escape if we neglect what? So great salvation. Oh, dear friend, this is our gospel message tonight. The deliverance that we can all have. Yes, we're all in danger of meeting God in our sins, and God is a judge. But tonight, He has planned something greater than you and I could ever have imagined. And He has done something that is so great that our minds, I've been saved for over 40 years, and I still haven't come to understand the fullness and the wonder of the great salvation that God has planned. Great. Why is it great, you might ask? Well, we could spend all night talking about the greatness of this salvation. It's great because of the great heart of love that planned it. The eternal heart of God. That heart, dear friend, that knows the worst about us, but loves us just the same. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Loved with an everlasting love. Dear friend, this is a love that doesn't get any weaker. This is a love that is eternal in its character. For God is love, and His love is always the same. But He shed it abroad in our hearts. Why has He shared it with us? Why has He poured it out on us? Why does He love you and I? We'll never ever know. But God made man in His image. And God made men the center of all His purposes. And dear friend, tonight He loves you so much. He loves mankind so much. That He was willing to give the darling of his bosom, his only well-beloved son. Dear friend, that's how concerned and how serious God thinks about sin, that he was prepared to give his one and only son to die on that center tree. You see, dear friend, it's great salvation, not only because of the great heart of love that planted, but because of the great cost it cost my Saviour to obtain it for you and me. You see, while we were yet sinners, we've reminded our hearts already, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Dear friend, I want you to understand this. He really died. Men put real nails in his hands and in his feet. Men beat him with rods and with their fists and placed a crown of thorns upon his head and hung him up between his own heaven and his own earth. But dear friend, I want you to understand, in the darkness of Calvary, although men had done their worst to him and they were cruel and shamefully treated him, but on that center tree, God took all of our sins, every single one of them, and he laid them on his own son. He punished him for every single sin that you and I have committed. And there he paid the price for your sin and mine. We read in verse number 9, why did the Lord Jesus take a body? Why did he come become a man? He tells us in verse number 9, that by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. Dear friend, the salvation that my Saviour has procured, it's great because every single sinner can know his sins forgiven. But tonight, dear friend, although his sacrifice is enough for all, it's only those who believe, it's only those who trust him, they will come into the good and the wonder of this great salvation. But tonight, dear friend, it's a great salvation, not only because it comes from the heart of God and it has come at the greatest price, but it's the greatest gift that you will ever be offered. As I've said already, the wages of sin is death, but praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dear friend, tonight, do you have him? Do you have Christ for yourself? Are you trusting him? Have you got the eternal life of God beating within your breast now? You don't have to wait till you die to get eternal life. Praise God tonight. Although I'm getting older and you can see the grey hair, if I have not much of the hair left, but praise God tonight, I've got eternal life beating within my soul. And I can understand eternal things. And I can understand spiritual things. And I can understand the things that God has written in his word and what he has revealed to me. Why? Because I've got the life of God within my soul. Dear friend, tonight, have you got that life? Have you got this eternal life? Well, dear friend, this great salvation he's offering to you, dear friend, by his grace, he brings it to you. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. He's commanding you to flee from your sin. And he's asking you to turn to the Saviour and receive the greatest gift this world can ever know. And because of that great love, and because of that great cost, and because of the greatness of that gift, that makes him a great Saviour. He's the one who's the centre of it all. He's the one that can bring it with assurance to your heart. And tonight, dear friend, the one who made the worlds, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, the one who by himself purged our sins upon the tree, is the one who has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And tonight he's looking at you, and he's looking right into your heart, and he's longing that you will trust him, and that you will find how great the salvation is, how great the forgiveness it is. Every sin, can you imagine it, dear friend? Every thought, every word, every deed that we've done wrong, we can know them all forgiven. And we can know a forgiveness that brings us and allows us to come into the very presence of God and to stand in his presence as though we had never sinned at all. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, do you have that kind of forgiveness? Do you have that kind of salvation? Great forgiveness, and great is the family that you will be brought into. You will become a child of God, a son of God, and an heir of God. And you will be in his family, and you will be under his protection, and you will have all his promises. Dear friend, what a great salvation it is. Great forgiveness, a great family, and a great future. Eternity with him, in the fullness of joy. And your heart and mind just can't comprehend just now the wonder and the fullness and the greatness of all the things that he has planned for his people who love him and trust his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my simple message tonight, dear friend. I trust you're concerned about the danger that you are in. I trust you will ignore the deceptions that are all around. And I trust tonight you can stand with me on solid ground, on the ground of peace, on a ground where you've been delivered from the wrath to come. Dear friend, can I just read the words of the beginning of our chapter? We ought therefore to give the more earnest heed. Dear friend, tonight, having heard the gospel again, you're responsible before him. You need to heed his voice. Don't listen to it as the voice of Graham Baxter. They were spoken by the Lord, and we are only standing here on his behalf and saying on his behalf, be ye reconciled to God. We're just ambassadors for him. We're just messengers on his behalf. And tonight, dear friend, if you trust him with your soul, guilty, lost, and helpless, he can make you whole. And tonight, dear friend, you can know this great salvation as a personal possession for yourself. And he will be with you till travelling days are done, and for all eternity, you will never, ever regret trusting the Saviour and taking the salvation that he offers. For if you don't, dear friend, eternity will be a long, dark, rueful time when you will regret ever hearing the message of the gospel. Because to neglect him now, and to neglect him until you die, is to finally reject him and to go out without Christ and without hope and without any possibility of ever escaping the judgment to come. Dear friend, it's a serious message, but it's a wonderful message, for God offers to you tonight the joy of your sins forgiven and the assurance that heaven can be your home. May God bless his word. Shall we all pray? Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence at the close of our time together, and we thank thee again for thy great love toward us. Our Father, will never understand why thou didst look upon man, why thou art so mindful of him, and yet, our Father, still thy love is toward us, and thou hast proven the greatness of thy love by the sending of thy Son,
by the giving of thy Son, by the offering of thy Son on the cross at Calvary. We thank thee for this again. We just long, our God and Father, that every soul that is in the room tonight, that they might see him there in his, all his glory, and yet all the suffering that he endured at thy holy hands. Oh, our Father, we long that every one of us might have a fresh appreciation of him taking our place as our substitute there on that centre tree. We thank thee for that. But we rejoice too, our Father, that he's no longer on that cross, and he's no longer in that tomb. And we praise thee now, he's now at thy right hand in heaven above. And our Father, we know someday soon he's going to come to take his waiting people home. And we long, our Father, that everyone that is in this room tonight, that they will have the assurance that when he comes, they will go to be with him, which is very far better. So, Father, we thank thee for our time together. We ask you to part us now with thy blessing. Take us all to our homes in safety, and bless us until we meet again, or until our Lord Jesus shall come, as we give thee thanks again for him, in his precious and lovely name. Amen.